following message is by Pastor Mike Hammonds of Angleton First Assembly of God, located in Angleton, Texas. May the Lord bless you and speak to your heart as you listen.
We're going to go to John chapter 3. We'll get there in just a little bit, not just yet. I want to start by talking to you about March the 30th, 1982. That was the Tuesday night that I came to church to make fun and ended up getting saved. Long story there, but that was it. I want to tell you what happened the following Sunday. 5 days later, I go to church as a church person for the very first time. I didn't go to church prior to that. I mean, I had been to a church service here and there, you know, rare occasions, and I'd been to funerals and weddings and things, but I didn't go to church, didn't know much about church. So I went to church that Sunday morning after the Tuesday. I'd given my heart to the Lord, and I'm sitting there, and I don't know what to do. I don't know the routine. I don't know when to stand, when to sit. I don't know anything about offering and plates and all of that. I'm just watching, and I'm just there. My life has been radically changed for the good. And I'm there, we're singing songs, and I don't know these songs. We're singing in the hymn book, and I'm doing my best to learn, and I'm by myself, nobody with me. And I mean, there's people around me, but I didn't go with anybody. And then they had testimony time. Y'all remember that? Now, there's still testimony, but usually we find out who has a testimony and we, you know, plan for it and or we video it and we show it. But I'm talking about the testimony where you just say, hey, let's have testimony. And you just get the microphone. And you just give it to people. Or they stand up with a loud voice and just begin to testify. And I know some of y'all are like, man, we ought to do that more. I can tell you why we don't do that sometimes. There's a lot of funny things that scary things for the preacher, but funny things for the congregation that have happened during testimony time. And so they had testimony time, and it's Sunday morning, and I'm sitting there. I don't even know what testimony is. The only testimony I know about is, you know, in testifying in court. I know about that. And so I'm sitting there, and somebody pops up and says something. They sit down. Somebody else pops up and says something. So I figure it out. I mean, I did go to public school, but I figured it out anyway. And so I stood up, and I testified. I don't remember all the exact words that I said, but I do remember 32 plus years ago, I remember saying these words. That's funny that I remember that because there's things from yesterday I don't remember. But 32 years ago when I testified, in the mix of my testimony, I said these words. Something happened and I saw two worlds. I'd never seen two worlds before. But Tuesday night, my eyes were opened, and I saw another world. I don't know how else to describe it. It was like a light came on, and I saw something that has always been there, but I've never seen. But when the light came on, it's like it revealed it, and I saw it for the first time. It was like seeing the picture that was hidden in the picture. And then all of a sudden your eyes focus and adjust just right, and all of a sudden you see it. It's been there the whole time. But I've been in the dark, and a light came on. It's like that moment in the Wizard of Oz movie when everything goes from black and white to color. Something changed inside of me. I couldn't explain it. I didn't totally understand it. I was trying to come to grips with it, but what I can assure you is that something happened. Something changed. And then there was this immediate spiritual tug of war that began to take place in me, this good versus evil thing. And all of a sudden, I was battling with whether to let go of this and grab hold of that, quit doing this, start doing that. Just all of a sudden, this tug of war began to take place. And I'm sitting there, man, what has happened to me? I don't know, but something did. And I think I can give you a little bit of the answer in John chapter 3. I want to just kind of Bible study it a little bit this morning. I want to look at the first 8 verses of John chapter 3. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night. And let me just pause there for just a moment. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. I can't help it. Title of the message is Nick at Night. I just don't know what else to do with that, all right? Nick at night. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus during the dark hours. Why? Why did he come at night? Was he just that busy during the day? The most common accepted answer is that because of his position and who he was, he didn't really want to be seen by everybody hanging around with Jesus in that group of followers. Maybe some of y'all can identify with that. I don't want to really associate with that group over there. They might think I'm one of them, right? And so that's probably why he waited until night. But he came to Jesus at night, and he said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is, now catch these words, you're going to see them in yellow on the screen, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now let's just stop for just a minute. Unless one is born again, he cannot what? See what? The kingdom of God. Church, I am convinced on that Tuesday night, that is exactly what I saw when my eyes were open. All of a sudden, I saw a different kingdom, another realm. So we've got the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And the Bible talks when a man gets saved, he moves from darkness into light, moves from blindness into sight. All of a sudden, you can see things that you couldn't see before. And Jesus says, unless you're born again, you can't see. And that word see means to see or to know, to have an awareness. If you haven't been born again, you don't have an awareness of the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God is just as real as everything else, but you may be unaware. People are unaware of the reality of that realm, the kingdom of God. Verse 4, Nicodemus says to Jesus, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter or come into the kingdom of God. Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. And so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. I pray that you, through your word and through your Spirit, touch our hearts. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's talk about Nicodemus a little bit. Nicodemus was a religious person. He was a Pharisee and he was a leader. He was a leader of the Jews. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, which is a council of Jewish elders. So he was high up. He was a big leader. He was a scholar. He was well educated in the scriptures. He was highly respected in his community. He was a moral person. He was a spiritual leader. He had position, popularity, and prestige. He had committed his life to studying and obeying the law, but somewhere in all of that, he missed the main thing. Nicodemus had head knowledge, but he didn't have heart knowledge. He had religion, but he didn't have relationship. So we're just laying some groundwork. This is the man who came to Jesus at night asking him these questions. So here's what we learn from this encounter between Nicodemus and Jesus. We learn that it's not enough to be religious, because he was. Y'all know that, church. It's not enough to be religious. It's not enough to be outwardly righteous or good. It's important to be good, but that's not enough when it comes to salvation. It's not enough to do good works. He was a high priest. He did good works. It's not enough to know about Jesus. It's not enough to recognize Jesus as a great teacher, which he did. It's not enough to recognize the power that Jesus had, which he did. Even though he had all of that going for him, even though he had observed all of them things, he still was not a part of the kingdom of God. He still didn't have an awareness. And we know he didn't have an awareness because when Jesus started talking to him about the kingdom of God and being born again, he comes back with, how can I get in my mother's womb again and come out a second time? So he's not even on the same page with Jesus. In church, all around you, when you go to work, in your neighborhood, there's people just like Nicodemus. They may have leadership positions. They may be good people, moral people. They may be religious people, but they still don't have an awareness of the kingdom of God. I would tell you on the Monday before the Tuesday that my heart was changed, I would tell you that I was a good person. Now, somebody else might say, no, I wasn't that good, but ask my mom. She'll tell you. I was all right. Now, I wasn't overly religious, but my morality wasn't in the dirt. I had this idea that you ought to be respectful towards people. You know, the golden rule, even though I didn't know the golden rule, didn't know where the golden rule was, didn't know that the golden rule was a Bible verse, I still had the idea that you ought to be treating people with respect. I was brought up that way. But there's a difference between morality and being born again. See, religion can clean you up a little bit, but it doesn't change the heart. To be saved, the heart has to be changed. That comes from a personal relationship with Jesus. Church, we're just talking about salvation this morning. Sunday after Thanksgiving, I just want to kind of go to the basics and talk about knowing Jesus. Nothing deep, no mark of the beast, nothing about vaccines and vaccinations that are on the horizon. Nothing about all of that, just salvation and knowing who Jesus is. Not knowing about Jesus, but knowing Jesus. Nicodemus was a seeker, and he came looking for answers about religion, and basically heard Jesus say, it's not about religion, it's about relationship. And church, let's just take a moment to remind ourselves that Christianity is not about religion. It's about relationship. Religion is about what you can do. Christianity is about what he has done. Religion is you trying to earn your way and reach God. And Christianity is God looking at you, telling you, you can't earn your way, but let me reach you. So religion is not necessarily a bad thing, but it's more than that. It's about relationship. The kingdom of God is built on relationship. A lot of people have this idea when it comes to heaven and hell. Hell is bad, heaven is good. You're right so far. And if you want to go to the good place, you got to be good. If you're too bad, you'll go to the bad place. The problem with all of this is that good and bad are relative terms, right? Some of us will think we're good, but then we stand next to Billy Graham, maybe we're not that good. It's a relative term. And the thing is, even if you are very good and Billy Graham looks bad standing next to you, on your best day, the Bible says that we fall short of the glory of God. And so there is not enough good for us to earn our way. It's not about good and bad. It's about lost and found. It's about being saved or not. But a lot of people have this idea that if I can do enough good deeds, I get enough checks over here on this side of the scale. And now I messed up and I get some X's on this side of the scale. And just depending which way the scale goes when I die, hopefully it's in my favor. It's not that at all. That may work with your diet. I did really good, and then I had a cheat day. And whether you're gaining weight or losing weight, that may work with your diet, but it doesn't work when it comes to salvation. Salvation is all about Jesus reaching you. So let's just, again, we're basic this morning. What does it mean to be born again? We saw that phrase in John chapter 3. Now think about it, John chapter 3. I stopped at verse 8. If we were to keep reading 8 verses later, what verse would we get to? John chapter 3, verse 16. Most people know that verse. Even unchurched people know that verse. By the way, I didn't know that verse that Tuesday I gave my heart to the Lord. I didn't know that verse. I'm sure I'd heard it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's still the conversation with Nicodemus. That's what Jesus told him. So what does it mean to be born again? Let me tell you what it's not. It's not about turning over a new leaf. It's not about resolutions or a decision to do better, a decision to live a moral life. It's not about a girlfriend or a boyfriend. I know I've heard that. I got a new girlfriend. I feel like I'm born again. Okay, that's fine, I guess, as a phrase. But it's not that. What does it mean to be born again? Three things. Number one, it is a second birth. It's a second birth. If you'll remember the text, Jesus said you must be born again. We know what the word again means, right? If I go get a donut, and then later I go again and get a donut, what does that mean? That means I've had two donuts. Again. It means it's already happened once. That's why Nicodemus asked, how can I enter into my mother's womb a second time? Because Jesus said you must be born again. It must happen a second time. So the first birth gives you life here on earth, but the second birth gives you life in heaven. It's a second birth. The first birth is your physical birth. The second birth is your spiritual birth. And that's the second thing I want to talk to you about. What does it mean to be born again? Number one, it's a second birth. But number two, it's a spiritual birth. Can I see the hands of everybody who's been born physically? Yeah, I'm just checking you right now just to see who's out there. If you're here, you've been born physically, all right? We've all been born once, but have we been born that second time, born again? It's a spiritual birth. In verses 4 and 5, Nicodemus says to Jesus, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You got to be born twice. You got to be born of water, number one, and of the Spirit, number two. We've all been born of water. Now, I've heard a lot of people talk what that born of water means. There are some people that say that means baptized in water. You got to be baptized in water and born of the Spirit. That's why you got to be baptized in order to go to heaven. That's because of this verse right here. You got to be born of water. That's not talking about water baptism. And then I've heard people link it to another verse in the Bible where it talks about the washing of the Word. It's the Word of God. You got to be born of the Word of God. I really don't think it's that either. I think we're making it more complicated than it is. The water refers to the physical birth. Ladies, what happens? The water breaks. When the water breaks, men, what happens? You get it into gear. When the water breaks, life is coming, baby's coming. So that the water birth is a physical birth. And really, if you just read a little further, Jesus explains it because he says, that which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. You got to be born of the water and of the Spirit, and that which is flesh is flesh. He relates the flesh birth to the being born of water. So being born of water is nothing more than, that's nothing more than your physical birth. So in other words, Jesus is saying, unless one is born in the flesh and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. What that means is that the kingdom of God is not just Spirit people only. It's people who have been born of the Spirit and the flesh. The flesh birth being first, of course. And Nicodemus is talking about getting in there and being born a second time out of his mother's womb. He's not getting the parallel here. But let's just say you could. We wouldn't want to. But if you could be born 100 times, how is that going to help you when it comes to earning God's grace and forgiveness and making it to heaven? I don't care how many times you were born in the flesh. It'll never be good enough. You'll always be tainted. The flesh is corruptible. You'll always fall short of the glory of God if you're born 1,000 times. That which is of the flesh is flesh, and if you're born 1,000 times of the flesh, that which is of the flesh is still flesh. It's a spiritual birth is what we're talking about. So you are flesh, but you have to be born again of the Spirit. You know, church, you are not a body with a spirit. More so, you are a spirit with a body. It's the real you that has to be born again. And I can tell you, when you're born again, the fleshly part of you doesn't change. Oh, there might be a little bit of a glow or a twinkle in your eye, but if you are bald and you give your heart to Jesus, you're still bald. If you are overweight and you give your heart to Jesus, you're just overweight and loving Jesus. The fleshly birth is the fleshly birth. This is the spirit. The born again part is the spirit man that is made new. A clean thing cannot be brought out of an unclean. You have to be born of the Spirit. It's a spiritual birth. There has to be a change of heart. There has to be a change of heart, church. Whether it's Billy Graham, Mother Teresa, or the best person you can think of, there has to be a change of heart. because all people are born with a heart that falls short of the glory of God. The Bible says that even with the child, that the foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child. And the Bible also says that foolishness is sin. So there is sin bound up in the heart of the child. Foolishness is in the heart of a child. There has to be a change of heart. There has to be a spiritual birth. You know, you don't teach children to be selfish. You have to teach them how to share. You don't teach them to take things. You teach them to give. It's in our nature to be selfish. It's in our nature to take. And, you know, some of the first words besides mom and dad, and actually this may come before mom and dad, it's mine. Gimme. There is a selfishness that is in us at birth. I'm not okay. You're not okay. Nobody's okay. We all fall short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. We all need Jesus. So it's a second birth. It's a spiritual birth. And the third thing, it's a supernatural birth. The Bible says you got to be born again. If you look up that word again in the original language, it also means from above. You got to be born again. You got to be born from above. Being born from above is not about human efforts. That's all down here, fleshly birth. Spiritual birth is from up here. You remember Jesus' conversation with Peter. Who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, my Father revealed that to you. That came from above. You got information from above, and it changed your life. That's what being born again is about. It's a supernatural birth. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. So it's a second birth. It's a spiritual birth, but it's also supernatural. It's miraculous. Church, it is miraculous. You know, we talk about miracles. I want to see miracles, and we think of blind eyes open and legs being healed, and those are miracles. But let me just tell you, spiritual eyes being opened is just as much a miracle. What happened to me on that Tuesday night is a miracle. I'm still here 32 years later. I still can't forget. I still can't go through a day and just not think that there's a God in heaven. I am God conscious now, and I never was before. It's a supernatural birth. The new birth is incomprehensible, but we can't suppose it to be impossible. In verse 8, Jesus said this, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from, and so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Think about it, the wind. I mean, God made wind. It's just an invisible thing, and you don't see the wind, but you see the results of the wind. If I had a flag up here mounted on this on a base and the flag was just hanging straight down, there's no wind. But if the flag is flying out, now we know that there's wind. Golfers go to the course and they look at the flag down at the green. They see which way the flag is blowing so that they know how to play the ball. Because the flag tells you that there's a wind. There is a result. You can't see the wind, but you can see the result. You can see the effects of the wind. And here's another difference between religion and relationship. This same flag, if it were here, if I was to take the flag and grab it with my hand and move it around, that doesn't mean there's wind. I'm making it move. That's religion. Relationship, the flag blows on its own. It's from inside. The flag, just I can move the flag, but that doesn't mean there is wind. Yet if there is wind, it will move the flag. So when I move it, it's symbolic of religion. But a real wind produces real effects, and a real born-again experience will do the same. Church, when somebody meets Jesus, there is a change. It doesn't mean that they're perfect. It doesn't mean they'll never stumble. It doesn't mean they won't go through some things. And they may even go through some things where they pull away for a while. Peter did that. But something happens. There is a change. It is miraculous. It is a supernatural birth. In verse 3, Jesus said, unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. Verse 5, unless you're born again, you can't enter the kingdom of God. In verse 7, he said, you must be born again. The first birth begins a journey to death. The second birth begins a journey to life. And for your bumper sticker, Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once, right? That second birth prevents you from experiencing the second death. So how can you be born again? You know, this is a tough question. I hesitate to answer how you can be born again because it would suggest that you can make it happen. And I don't know that you can make it happen. How did it happen with me? This is the mysterious part of it. This is the wind element of it. I don't know how to explain to you to make it happen because I don't know that you can make it happen. But what I do know is that the Word of God, whenever it is preached, it is alive and it triggers something. And the Word of God was preached that night and something went off on the inside and all of a sudden my eyes were opened. There is an opening of the eyes. That song, Amazing Grace, I once was blind, but now I see. There is a realness to that. The Bible talks about the enemy has blinded the minds of the unbeliever. You know, you see with your mind. The eyes are the window, but you see with your mind. And the enemy has blinded the minds of the unbeliever. But something happened that night, and the blinders were taken off, and all of a sudden I saw things I'd never seen before. You can't make it happen, but you can cooperate with the Holy Spirit who is trying to work in your life. Some people are just resistant to God doing things in them. So here's what you can do. You can cooperate with the Holy Spirit and you can do this. I think number one, if you're going to come to be found, if you're going to come to know who Jesus is, I think number one, you need to know that you're lost. I think you need to realize and recognize that I am lost. But a lot of people never get past step one. They never can admit that they are lost because, hey, I'm better than so-and-so and so-and-so goes to church. I understand that. But you have to recognize that you have a need for Jesus. If I pulled out of my pocket a cure for some, let's go with COVID, for COVID, you have to have it to get it, and I offered you the cure, you're not going to take it if you don't have the disease. But if you have the disease, you'll come running for it. You got to know that you're sick before you appreciate the medicine. You got to know that you're sick before you will accept the cure. And Jesus is the cure to sin. But you got to know that you're a sinner and that you're lost and undone. You got to know that you fall short of the glory of God. You got to know that on your best day, you're not righteous. You're not good enough. You got to know that you need Him. You can't save yourself. You got to know that. And then after you know that, you're on your way. John chapter 1, verse 12 on the screen for you. As many as received Jesus, to them He gave the right or the power to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. If you go back and read that conversation, all of it, with Nicodemus and Jesus, some five or six times Jesus mentions the word believe. John 3:16 being the crown of it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whoever would believe. In this verse here, it says, as many as received Him, realize that you're a sinner, and then believe and receive Jesus. That's what you need to do. Look at this verse one more time. As many as received Him, to them He gave the right, the power to become children of God, to believe those who believe in His name. He gives the right or the power to become what? Children of God. Another misnomer is that everybody on the planet are children of God. I've heard preachers say that. Doesn't line up with the scriptures. Everybody on the planet is a creation of God. But to be a child of God, you got to be born again. The first time I was born, I became a child of the Hammonds. Pretty good bunch. Second time I was born, I became a child of God. It wasn't automatic. This verse says, to those who receive Him, He gives the right to become children of God. To those who don't receive Him, they don't become children of God. So just because you have breath, just because you're alive, doesn't mean you're born again. It only means you're born. There's a revelation. Write that down. If you're walking around and you're breathing, you've been born. But Jesus said you've got to be born again. So the fact that you're walking on the planet, The fact that you're alive and have breath is not good enough. It only means you're born. Jesus said you got to be born again. You got to be born of the flesh and of the spirit. Nicodemus finally got it. He was religious but lost. He was moral but lost. He was a churchgoer but lost. But we know he got it. He trusted Jesus to save him. And we find his name mentioned two times later in chapter 7 and 19. In both of those times, we find Nicodemus serving Jesus. That conversation led to his salvation. He came at night, but he moved from darkness into light. I don't have all the answers to some of the questions that people have. It's like, well, how come this person gave their life to Jesus and this person did this and this, and this one made it and this one didn't? I don't have all of that, but here's what Jesus said. You must be born again. There's a second birth. And Jesus told Nicodemus 5-6 times, he said, you got to believe. And to those that would believe and receive Jesus, to them they become the children of God. Would you bow your heads with me? Those of you watching my camera, would you also just bow with me? I know this is somewhat like preaching to the choir here in the house, but hey, I don't know everybody that's here, and I don't know everybody's heart condition, and I certainly don't know everybody that's watching. Jesus said you must be born again. You need to receive Jesus to become a child of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus is the answer, church. Believe on him. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, if you're here, and today, you need to receive Jesus. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to ask you to place it over your heart. If you're watching, and today, you need to receive Jesus, I'm going to ask you to place your hand over your heart as well. And then I'm going to say these words. And I want you just to repeat after me. There's really no magic in the words. It's just you acknowledging some of the things out loud that are going on in your heart. I can tell you this, that before I ever prayed the prayer, my heart had already flipped upside right. It had already been changed. Because my heart was believing. My heart believed before I could say it. The heart is faster than the mouth. So we're going to say some things, and if what I say confirms what is in your heart, then you're trusting Jesus to be your Savior today. So as I say it, hear it, and then say it with me if it's in you to say it. Father God, say it with me. Father God, in Jesus' name, I stand here, lost and undone. I fall short of the glory of God. On my best day, I am not good enough. But Father God, on my worst day, Jesus is still Lord. And so I confess Jesus. I believe on him. I receive him as my Lord and my Savior. I confess that he died on the cross for my sins. He was buried and he rose again on the third day. And he lives today. And because of him, I also can have life today. Not just the walk around kind of life, but a spiritual life, a born again life. I ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Would you give Jesus a good hand clap? Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening today. For additional information or to call in a prayer need, you can reach Angleton First at 979-849-6112 or check us out on the web at angletonfirst.org. God's blessings upon you, and may His peace be yours today.